Jared and the GM on ESPN 102.5 The Game. We are live today, Bridgestone Arena. Preds and Maple Leafs tonight, where the Preds try to go for three in a row for the first time since the first game out of the All-Star break before the Patriots were Super Bowl champions. Last time the Predators won three in a row, by my count, the Eagles were still the Super Bowl champions. That's how long it's been since the Predators have won three games in a row. They go for three in a row tonight against Toronto. Floyd, how are you today?
Outstanding.
You don't feel a little left out?
Because?
I mean, you got on the SEC network right now, you got Nick and Bill Belichick out there at Alabama Pro Day talking about rotating safeties, and everybody's just around watching them talk, taking pictures of those two talking to each other. And I feel like you're the third person in the conversation.
Yeah,
you should
right.
be right there talking with Nick and Bill.
Yeah, I don't think they miss me.
Oh, I bet they miss you.
I think they'll do it just fine.
I bet they miss you. Now, to the Predators today, there's two pots right here for me to think of. When you have tonight's game against Toronto, there's one pot that tells me it's a regular season Eastern Conference game, like in 3 weeks from now when the playoffs start, are we really going to care about this game? Like, there's nine games left. Are we really going to look back at, hey, remember that Toronto game? Like, I'm like, you know, how much? It feels like the Predators, by winning those two on the road, have kind of tempered us from the idea that they might not make the playoffs. Because it felt like after they lost to Anaheim, it felt like they weren't going to win another game all season. So, you know, they've kind of cooled the Jets in that regard. So you have to feel better. But then there's the other side of me that thinks, hey, you haven't won three games in a row in 2 months. You've always talked about, hey, last 10 games of the year, we got to get it going. Ekholm said it on Smashville Live 2 weeks ago. Hey, last 10 games of the year, we got to get it going just like we did in 2018. And here you are, nine games left, last 10 games. You have the positive momentum from beating San Jose the other night. You know, we're starting, and we always do this with this team this year, is they win a couple in a row and we start to think like, hey, maybe they're starting to look like a decent team. And then, as you know, they go out there and they get their butts beat. So I'm kind of torn as far as what the meaning of tonight's game means to me. I lean more towards the second part, which is I think this is a crucial, monumental game tonight in terms of how they play. And then there's the other side of me that says, hey, it's 1-82 and it's an Eastern Conference team, so it is what it is.
Well, I looking at the schedule with, what do they got, 11 games left?
I think they got nine.
And nine games left, whatever it is. And I'm looking at the schedule, and these next three or four, maybe even five games are all against maybe not the best talent in the league, but against good talent. So for me, these next four or five games are going to be really important. They will give us an indication of which way this team is going heading into the playoffs. Now, will that have any kind of giant ramifications on the playoffs? I'm not saying that. But I think we will, by the time these nine games are over, after these four or five games, we'll have a good feeling as to whether the trajectory is up or down or straight across or whatever it may be. So, I mean, if you want to count San Jose in that, you certainly can. San Jose is an outstanding team. But I think these next few games, simply because there are no Anaheims, you know, there are no LAs, we're talking about Winnipegs and Pittsburghs and teams that we know are pretty good team, playoff teams, teams you're going to have to beat in the playoffs to get to the Stanley Cup. So I look at these next, like I said, if you want to include San Jose, fine. But these next three or four or five or whatever it is games as an indicator of where they're headed.
I mean, if nothing else, it's going to raise one narrative and quash another. Because the two narratives this season, one is, what in the holy heck is wrong with the Predators? It has been a discussion that we have had for 3 months on end. And the other narrative is, hey, they're just saving it for when they make the playoffs. You know, all that matters is the playoffs. And last year, the team realized in their mind that home ice didn't matter, so they're cool with it. So they're just biding their time, earning their checks until it comes time to play. And all the players have said, hey, you know, it really comes down to the end of the year when it's really time to play. And then to your point, the schedule, I think, is set up perfectly. Because the schedule is tonight against Toronto, Thursday night against Pittsburgh, Saturday night against Winnipeg. I mean, to your point, playoff, playoff, playoff kind of team.
Then I think they go back to Pittsburgh.
They go back to Pittsburgh. And then finally somewhere in there they get Columbus, who's fighting for their lives.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, you're getting real teams.
Yeah.
So, to me, I feel like it's going to either raise the narrative of, hey, they were just – like, if they go 5-1 in this stretch where they beat San Jose and they beat Toronto and they beat Pittsburgh and they lose at Winnipeg and then they beat Pittsburgh, then I think we can look at this team and say, okay, they can roll with the big dogs in this league. Because they did beat Tampa the two times they played them all the way back in November. And they did, you know, that would give me at least a modicum of maybe hope or excitement that, hey, this team really was packing it in until the end of the year, and that would be a good thing. I also believe that it would be nice just to see them get on a roll right before they head into the playoffs. I mean, get that confidence back. You can tell me that they have all the confidence in the world and they know they can play with anybody, and maybe they do think they can play with anybody, but there's a big difference in terms of confidence between thinking you can play with anybody and knowing you can play with them by beating them right before you go into the playoffs.
Well, it's going to be interesting because either way, if they win a bunch of these remaining nine and you feel really good going to the playoffs, it's going to be, all right, you know, we've got momentum going into the playoffs. We feel really good about it. If they don't, then it's going to be, hey, they're getting ready for the playoffs. They're just saving it for the playoffs. So
you're coming up with the fan narrative?
Yeah, that's the way it's going to be either way. You know what? That's okay. Don't worry about it. Playoffs are coming. Then we'll see. That's the way it's going to be.
The other reason I find the Toronto game today incredibly intriguing is I feel like if you go back to last year, this is the weekend last year where the Predators clinched a playoff spot. They won a game, I think, on Friday night in Colorado, which clinched their playoff berth into the playoffs. Now, I think the playoffs were a week back. So even though it was the exact same time frame this year, I think it was a week back in time, or the playoffs are up 1 week. I think it's a weird year in terms of how the weeks are going or aligning or whatever. I don't know. I'm not a calendarist, so I don't know the difference. But anywho, it was the Friday of the NCAA tournaments when UNBC beat Virginia that the Predators beat Colorado and they clinched a playoff berth. The next week, they played Toronto here on a Thursday night. And I don't know if you remember that, but they got their rear ends spanked. And it was one of those games where the speed of Toronto was just way too much for the Predators. And we looked at that like, whoa, hold up. Toronto, Boston, Tampa Bay last year were all kind of competing against each other, and we didn't know who was going to come out of the East. So we looked at all three of those teams like, hey, one of Toronto, Tampa Bay, or Boston, you could be playing in the Stanley Cup Final. And I want to say Toronto came in here and beat the Predators 5-1 last year. I mean, just beat them. And I wonder if tonight, you know, you're going to see a similar type thing. Toronto's got the same speed. They've got they've got all these really good, young, really good players. And I just worry about the way I felt last year. And I remember we did 4 hours on that game and callers were panicking and everything. And it was the first moment where we were like, maybe this team is not as great as we think. Maybe they're a little vulnerable, especially to the speed teams. And then we saw the big, fast Winnipeg Jets come in here and win in the playoffs. So for some reason, the way that that game last year, and Ian points out it was 5-2, the way that that game last year impacted me and the way I felt about the team looking back on it, I kind of look at today as, hey, it's a young, fast, similar team that came in here and beat your butts and got your eyes open last year. Maybe if you beat them this year, it will give us more confidence or something along those lines. I don't know why I take last year's game into account, but I remember that was a butt-kicking, and I remember being like, whoa, hold the phone. You know, what's going on over here? Because Toronto just came in here and just outskated the Predators for 60 minutes. I mean, just beat them. So for some reason, that's another reason why I think Toronto's a big game as they come in here tonight.
Well, and that could be. I mean, I'm looking just strictly at the records. You know, and I'm looking and I'm thinking, okay, these are legitimate teams. These are not the teams that we've had to kind of struggle through these last couple weeks, you know, where it's an Anaheim or an LA and you expect them to win, and if
and
they
don't,
if they don't win, then it's, oh my God, what sky is falling, and if they do win, then it's kind of, well, they're supposed to win, and so, I mean, I just want them to play a level of play that they're going to see in the playoffs, and let's see how well they do. I mean, I think they'll do fine, but you know, I think we need to see that, and that's going to be what we'll see for the next, you know, couple of games.
And I'm telling you, this is a big six-game stretch or whatever. You start with San Jose on Saturday. You've got Toronto today. They're a playoff team. Pittsburgh on Thursday. They're a playoff team. Winnipeg on Saturday. Enough said with Winnipeg, which, by the way, you need to beat Winnipeg because it's been a minute since you've beaten Winnipeg, and they've beaten your butts.
They jumped up a couple last night, too.
I mean, they have beaten your butts, you know, lately, to be just completely frank about it. Pittsburgh or Minnesota, who technically is 1 point, I think, out of the playoffs, or maybe they're right in the playoffs. They're on Monday, and then Pittsburgh the following Friday. So you're talking playoffs, playoffs, playoffs. And that's what they are. As Jim Moran Sr. would say, playoffs, that's right, the playoffs. So we're off and running on the Preds tonight against Toronto. Is it a big game? Or is it just kind of one of 82 where you – because I'm having a hard time thinking that this is one of 82 where we're sitting right now. I think this is a monumental game for this team. So let's take your phones on the Preds. Let's get rocking and rolling. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. 615-737-1025 will go to your phones. Plus, the other downside about these big-time games that are coming up on the schedule. We'll get to that next. It's Jared and the GM live from Bridgestone Arena on ESPN 102.5 The Game and streaming on the Game Nashville app.
3 weeks to go in the season. Just how challenging is it? And this pertains to Toronto as well. As clubs try to get some traction and get going with every game so difficult.
Yeah, I mean, I think these conversations always come up in the last dozen in the year. There's always something at stake. You know, whether you're fighting for home ice throughout the playoffs, or whether you're fighting for a round of it, or whether you're trying to make the playoffs, or if things haven't gone your way, you know, you're trying to prove that, you know, you've got what it takes to be successful and you're building towards next year. So it doesn't matter who you're playing, everybody seems to be fighting and playing for something at this point of the year. So expect a terrific game tonight with Toronto, terrific team. So
Peter Laviolette today. Now, that's not actually true. Tampa Bay has nothing to play for. They have won the President's Trophy, which, think about that level
already?
Of dominance. This time last
they've
year,
won,
the
Predators. Out now.
This time last year, the Predators, on the Friday of this week, clinched a playoff spot. They have won the President's Trophy.
Wow. I guess that means they'll be eliminated in the first round.
I mean, is that not the worst? Like, you win the President's Trophy on March 19th. You don't play a playoff game until April 11th.
Ooh.
I mean, is that not the worst?
That's tough.
That's like, you know, like you watch these baseball teams play in spring training right now. Like, how hard are these guys trying to run out ground balls? You know, they're in their 20th spring training game. They don't even try hard to run out a ground ball in, like, the World Series. So how are they going to try to run hard on a ground ball in spring training? And here you go, hey, none of your games matter the rest of the way, Stamkos. You just take off. So knock yourselves out. But to Peter's point, somebody is always playing for something, especially as far as seeding is concerned and those things. I believe the Predators have to win one or two more games down the stretch, and they will have home ice in the first round of the playoffs. I believe that unless they win probably out this week, but they're going to have to beat Winnipeg in the last time they play them on Saturday. But they're going to have to play well. Winnipeg's going to have to not play well in order for them to win the Central Division and get home ice for two rounds. And they have no prayer of home ice in the Western Conference Final. It just, for me, looking at the schedule, we talked about the playoff teams. You just beat San Jose, who is no longer the best team in the Western Conference. That now belongs to Calgary. But you've got Toronto, Pittsburgh, Winnipeg, Minnesota, Pittsburgh. I mean, you've got good teams that are playoff caliber teams that are coming up over the next week. And if the Preds beat these teams, as we said in the last segment, it feels like, you know, we'll look at them and say, okay, they're ready for the playoffs because they're beating playoff teams. What if they don't beat the playoff teams?
then we're waiting for the playoffs. Then it doesn't, hey, it's only March. We're getting ready for the, we're saving it for the playoffs.
Okay, but in all seriousness, what do we think if they don't beat the playoff teams?
Well, I think it'll give you a pretty good indication where they are.
I mean, the one that worries me is Winnipeg on Saturday. If they go to Winnipeg and they lose that game 5-2 or something like that, like they've been losing to Winnipeg, all of a sudden you look back and you see 5-2, 5-1, 5-2. You're like, wait a minute. That's the team you're supposed to match up with in the second round. They've got Kevin Hayes. They have added, and 5-1, 5-2, 5-1. I mean, that is – I would be worried. You know, to me, this is going to sound obvious, but if they could sweep this week, then I don't think I'd care about anything the rest of the way. If they can sweep this week, give me Toronto, give me Pittsburgh, and give me Winnipeg. And then if you want to lose every game the rest of the way, because I think at that point they'll have, what, 95 points, and 94 is usually the line of demarcation that gets you in or gets you out. Then the rest of the way, you've got, you know, Minnesota and Columbus and Chicago and Buffalo. And you know what? Just give me this week. Just win out this week, and I don't care about the rest of you. Win out this week, I will be one happy camper, and you will not hear anything from me outside of that. So do you think – I feel like that's a fair trade to make with the team. What do you think their record will be this week of the three games?
Oh, I have no clue.
Toronto, Pittsburgh, Winnipeg, two at home, one on the road.
Yeah, I mean, it's if anybody can read this team, they're a lot smarter than I am.
I'm going to go 1-1-1. So I'm going to go across the board, 1-1-1. I think they will lose tonight in overtime. I think they will win Pittsburgh Thursday, and I think they will lose outright at Winnipeg on Saturday. So I'll go 1-1-1. Let's go to your phone, 615-737-1025. Your thoughts on the Preds. Lee is up next on the Preds as they take on Toronto. Go ahead, Lee.
Hey, Jared, love the show.
Thank you.
I come down the side that this is a huge game tonight. They, like us, were preseason Stanley Cup favorites. They got Tavares and Matthews, two of the best players in the NHL. They're a better team than us. They got more points. This is a huge game. That's all I got. Thanks.
So, to me, I agree. I think tonight is a huge game. I think that there are two ways to look at it. You can either look at it like it's one of 82 and just move it on, or you can look at, as he pointed out, this is a team that has more points than you. This is a team that everybody in the league thinks is better than you. This is a team who on paper has better players than you. I mean, this is a big game that kicks off a big week. You know, we're talking about what do we think they're going to go this week. If they go 1-1-1, you pick up 3 points out of a possible six, that's not the end of the world. You go 0-3-0. That is bad news in the world where Winnipeg is probably at that point running away with the Central Division.
Yeah, that would put them up by five or something.
And they still probably have games in hand. They probably have 45 games to play.
That's right.
So it just – I agree with the caller. I think tonight is a huge game. And the other reason I think this is a huge game is because I, for some reason, think the three games in a row matters. The fact that this team cannot find any sort of consistency at this stage of the year, that they haven't won three games in a row of any fashion since the beginning of February, is a huge red flag. And they were set up perfectly to do that last week this time when they had won their two games against Minnesota, I believe, and then they had the opportunity to beat Anaheim, and they didn't do it. They went out there, they got their buns kicked. You know, that was a big concern. That was something that was rather worrisome. So here you sit, and you're thinking to yourself, okay, no, because they lost to the Hurricanes on that Saturday night. Yeah, that was just an all-around bad week. But the Hurricane game was their chance to get three in a row, and they come out with two bad starts to start those games, and it almost looked like they didn't show up for those games. It looked like, hey, oh, wow, we're down 2-0. Okay, let's play hard now. You know, like that's worrisome. And with this team, you even go back to the playoffs last year. They won back-to-back games one time in the playoffs. They won game one and game two of the Colorado series. And after that point, they alternated every game the rest of the way and had absolutely no consistency. This is the one thing that bothers me about this group, is they always, when they're not playing desperate, they always get their butts kicked. And the second they play desperate, they win games. And then when they get themselves off a death row and they start to feel comfortable again, they just get smacked upside the head like they did in game five of the Cup Final, where they had gone down 2-0 and they're coming back here and they play absolutely great hockey. Blowout Pittsburgh in game five. Pekka with a phenomenal performance in game four, or blowout in game three. Pekka, phenomenal performance in game four. And then they go to Pittsburgh and within a minute are down 1-0 to the Penguins. And they're down 3-0 at the end of the first period. And for some reason, and I can't explain it, Floyd, but this team, the second they get a little comfortable, the second they get themselves off death row, they get smacked. And that's why I'm really worried about tonight's game. Because they won their game against San Jose, so now they're feeling good. And when you start to feel good, this team over the years has demonstrated that they get their hats handed to them.
Well, I would like to see, I mean,
I like the Titans.
I would like to see them win three in a row again, but starting tonight. Let's start tonight. And even if you want to start against San Jose, I think that's a keeper.
But you're not counting the King
but
game?
No. How can you count that?
They played well.
I don't care.
They played because they were on death row.
I don't care.
Because we were ripping them 8 ways to Sunday, and so was everybody else, and they knew they had to win that game.
Yeah, right. So if you want to count San Jose and get three in a row or four in a row, then, you know, I think you're making progress. And I think that would probably be a great indicator. You know, you feel pretty good about yourself going in the playoffs.
What if tonight's one of those ones where it's that sleepy start where they're starting to feel comfortable and they get spanked around? Like, we're, I don't want to say accustomed to seeing with this group, but the more I think about it, when they play true desperate hockey, like they know they have to have it, they are a good team. But the second they win a game after playing true desperate hockey, they go out there and they don't show up. Do you remember game five of the Colorado series last year?
I wish I could say yes.
You had Colorado up 3-1. You were up 3-1 in the series. Ryan Hartman gets suspended because he turned into Happy Gilmore there at the end of the Avalanche game. Colorado almost comes back. Pekka hangs on. You win game. You're up 3-1. Their backup goalie got hurt, and they had to play Andrew Hammond, the Hamburglar, who no one had ever heard of and had not won a game since 2013, and they had to play him on a Friday night game five at Bridgestone, and the Predators laid an egg. They laid an egg of epic proportions. And then every time in the Winnipeg series that they got back into it, you know, okay, they won game two, they're even up at one, going back to Winnipeg, boom, lose game three. They win game four, even up, coming back home, their chance to take advantage of the series, boom, get their butts kicked in game five. They go out there, play a great game six, come back game seven, this building, fans behind them, boom, 5-1 or whatever, you lose out of the playoffs. This is who they are. Until they prove otherwise, this is who they are, is play really hard when they're up against it, get comfortable, lose. And to me, that's all an attitude thing. That's just a team attitude thing. So I'm with you. Let's forget the LA game because they suck. But San Jose, that was a nice, desperate, hard-earned win. But don't get comfortable now. Like, I worry they're going to get comfortable now because that's what they do, is they get comfortable. Let's take more of your phone. 615-737-1025 is the number. 615-737-1025. And then I have kind of a hot take about these games that are coming up against these really good teams. We'll get to that take as well. 615-737-1025. It's Jared and the GM right here on ESPN 1025 The Game, live from Bridgestone Arena and streaming on the Game National app.
You know, obviously you look at the defensemen. How important are the forwards in the role of kind of supporting them?
I mean, there's, you know, when you walk away from a game and you say that we were great defensively, it's more than just about your D-zone coverage or how you defend in your end. It's about doing the right things with the puck in the neutral zone. It's about being in position on the forecheck in the offensive zone. All of that leads to whether or not you're going to be good defensively. So there's a lot more to it than that. I think we understand that. We understand that, and when we're at our best, we're paying attention to all areas of playing, being a good defensive team.
You know when they're a really good defensive team, Floyd? Is when they have to be a really good defensive team. When their backs are up against it and they play desperate hockey. And the one problem that I have had with the Predators ever since Game 5 of the Stanley Cup Final is when they don't have to play desperate, they don't play desperate, and when they don't play desperate, they lose. I think it's like a simple math equation.
See, I don't – I mean, I know you keep saying – and you say the same thing about the Titans. And I mean, the bottom line is some of these teams you play, even though they maybe don't have a great record, it is the NHL. And they are better than you want to give them credit for. And so I think some of these you come into, and do you play, you know, the same way you're playing against the Stanley Cup champions? No, probably not. But you're not saying, oh, okay, you know, to heck with this. We'll just go out there and skate around and come out with a win.
I'm sure they don't say that. They say all the right things every time they put themselves in those positions.
Yeah.
You remember Game 3 of the Colorado series last year, where you're up 2-0 after, and then you go there, and it's bang, 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 3-0 Colorado. And then you start playing hard, and you get back in the game.
Well, yeah, but think about the games you just mentioned. You know, Game 3 of Colorado and Game 4 against Chicago and you're picking out games over the last couple of years. They play a lot of games.
I know, but I'm talking about the big ones. Like, I'm talking about if you go back to when the Predators have gotten themselves off a death row, or they have gotten just a little bit comfortable, they always lose. They ever since Game 5 of the Cup Final, because Game 5 of the Cup Final, you had tied it up, and as you had said, the preliminaries in the Cup Final were over, and all of a sudden, here comes Game 5 of the Cup Final, and it's a best 2 out of 3, and what happens at the very beginning of Game 5 is Sidney Crosby literally just skates right through the middle, gets tripped, they go on the power play, they score, they're up 1-0. It was 3-0 at the end of the first period, and Pecorine's out of the game. Then they got comfortable in the Colorado series, up 2-0. Didn't even play that well at home in those two games, but Colorado was punching Judy. So they're up 2-0. They go to Colorado, bang, 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 Rene's out of the game. It's 3-0 Colorado. They game 5 at home against Colorado in a series that everyone was picking them to win in 5 games. They just don't show up, and they lose to Andrew Hammond, the Hamburglar. Is he even in the league right now?
I think he is.
No, you don't.
I think, no.
The
seriously, the only reason, because I remember somebody talking about him this year. Ah, the Hamburglar is back and alive. But I don't know where he is.
And then you go back to the Winnipeg series, and just when they got themselves right back in the series in Game 4, after they won Game 4, they get slaughtered at home in Game 5, and they get slaughtered at home in Game 7. And that's why I'm just convinced that this team, it's like a mental thing. It's like an unspoken thing. It's like they're not trying to not play as hard as they played when they were up against it. They just can't play as desperate as they played when they were up against it. And I don't know why. And then tonight would be a perfect example of them getting a little comfortable because they just beat San Jose, which was a very impressive win on Saturday. And that's why I am trying to caution against getting too excited or getting too worked up or getting too anything going into tonight's game, because they just kind of, that's just kind of how they do their business. Let's go to your phones. Let's go to Michael, who's up next here on Jared and the GM on the Predators. Thank you for calling. What's up, Michael?
Thanks for taking my call, guys. First off, I totally agree with Mr. Reese and Jared. I'm going to put you in a position that you're not unfamiliar with. I'm going to disagree with you. The NHL, the 31st out of 31 teams, is still loaded with the best hockey players in the world. That's just compared to the other 30 teams. Now, I would suggest analyze the stats, but unless you've skated a mile in their skates, I don't see where you're in a position to say what they are or are not thinking.
Why?
With that, I'll let you go.
Why am I not allowed to say that?
I didn't say you weren't allowed to.
Why? I mean,
I didn't say you weren't allowed to.
So do you think Isaiah Thomas is a great basketball coach or a great basketball general manager? He is a great point guard, so he has played in their shoes before.
Okay.
So
okay, I'm just saying. This
drives me crazy. This is my favorite part of it. Thank you for your call. Is you get the people that are like, you don't know the game because you didn't play the game. Isaiah Thomas, great, one of the greatest point guards in the history of the NBA. Terrible coach, terrible general manager, terrible team president, terrible broadcaster. Just because you're a good player doesn't mean you're going to be a good coach. Mike Singletary. Do we remember when Mike Singletary was head coach in the NFL?
Sure.
Mike Singletary can't even coach in the AAF. That Memphis team is terrible. Mike Singletary was a great linebacker, right?
Right.
If I had to compare you to Mike Singletary in terms of your football playing ability, who is the better football player?
Let me think about that.
Now, if I had to compare you as a coach and you as a general manager to Mike Singletary's post-football playing career, who was better?
That balances out a little bit.
So it's like this thing where people just, they get mad because all this guy wants to hear, like if I was on the air and I was saying, hey, every game's going to be hard. Every team's trying. They tried their hardest. They worked the bestest. They tried. If that's what you want to hear, I'm sure there's another station that's got that. I don't know which one because, to the best of my knowledge, we talk sports. I don't know what everybody else does. But, like, I'm sure there's a station where you can listen to that has that. But I am not accepting losses to Anaheim right now. That's not my job. It's like people will say, well, Jared, you need to give credit to the – I'm not Visa. I'm not American Express. That's not my job. It's not my job to, when they lose to Anaheim, to pump them up. It's my job to sit there and analyze it and say, oh, my God, what are we watching right now when they lose to Anaheim? Just like it's my job when they beat San Jose to say, hey, you know, that was an impressive win on Saturday night, and you hope they can follow up the impressive win with an impressive win tonight.
Okay.
Well, I'm just saying if we lived our lives by everybody's trying, everybody's good. That is such loser talk. That is if we lived our life like that, then we'd be everybody 8-8 in the NFL. That'd be fine. 8-8 in the NFL. Hey, they're trying.
Wait a minute. Now, wait a minute.
They're trying in the NFL. They are trying. The Titans are trying.
The guy that yesterday was backing a team that was emotionally down and couldn't play in the SEC championship game.
I just said it didn't mean anything.
It didn't mean anything. SEC championship. Meaningless.
That game?
Meaningless.
Yes, yes, there was a meaningless aspect to the outcome of
the
game.
I'll say that you can't have it both ways.
The outcome of the game.
You can have it one way or the other, but
I'm not saying
both ways.
I'm not saying that it was meaningless in terms of they didn't win a championship, so that's good. I don't mean it like that. I mean it like the fact that they couldn't show up on Sunday to play Auburn, I don't think
was
hinders,
acceptable.
Does
was
not hinder
was
their
acceptable.
Chances of getting to the final.
No,
four.
That was acceptable, that they couldn't show up to play Auburn in the SEC championship.
Because it doesn't hurt their chances of going to the Final Four.
That doesn't make any difference. You lost the SEC championship.
Which was to be expected.
See, you can't have it both ways.
I'm just a realist. I'm just telling you how it is. People have a really hard time with this. I am learning this over time.
Only because you can't have it both ways. You've got to go one way or the other with it. I mean, I just want consistency. That's
we're talking
all,
about hockey
that's
right
all
now.
I want
this. These are and not apples
and
to
hockey,
apples.
And hockey is a great example. Wherever you want to go with it. To me, if you can play well against a good team, whoever that team may
be. San Jose.
Then, okay, play well against San Jose, then you need to play well tonight. And if you don't, it's inexcusable, and you need to play well next week, and you need to play well the next game. And it doesn't mean you're going to win every game. I'm not saying that. I'm saying you need to go out and perform. You are being paid to perform, whether you like it or not. And if you can't perform, then you're in the wrong job. You need to go do something that doesn't require performing.
Well, see, that's why I think Alabama and New England are so unique, because Alabama can win a game, an emotionally draining game against LSU. They can win that game, and then the next week when they have a lesser team come in, they don't overlook the lesser team, whereas 90% of teams in college football, when the lesser team comes in after they win their big game against so-and-so, they go out the next week against Mississippi State and lose. And Alabama doesn't do that. And the Patriots don't do that. And that's the difference between, like, the Titans can get themselves up to play a great game against New England and then go out and play terribly against Indianapolis the next week. And that just doesn't happen in New England too often. And that's what makes New England, I think, so much better and more consistent than everybody else. And the Preds are not New England or Alabama in that regard.
That's a bad omen because they're both champs.
Well, my question is, how do you get them to be like that? You were in New England, so you know how to do it, and I just... I feel like it's the hardest thing. It's the easiest thing to say to do, but it's the hardest thing to actually do.
It's the easiest to talk about. But to learn how to do it is a process, and it takes time. And there can be no exceptions. Be no exceptions. I went out to practice today, and you know what? I did, my tummy was hurting, so I didn't feel like practicing. Wrong. You're in the wrong place, playing for the wrong team. You need to go. See ya. I mean, all of those things are excuses. Everything. Every time you lose, you come up with something, it's an excuse. And I don't care who you are, what you play, or, you know, what the sport is, or, you know, whether it's cards, tiddlywinks, ping pong, it's all the same.
So I just am saying the Predators do that a lot, and that's the problem. 615-737-1025 is the number, 615-737-1025. Bunch of NFL things to hit on with Floyd. Nick Saban and Bill Belichick were yakking it up today at Alabama's Pro Day. John Robinson was there. I'm sure there's a couple players that he would really, really like to have on the Titans, since clearly John likes to draft the Alabama players. So we got that. Plus, there's a player in the draft that the Titans had no chance of getting. Until maybe now there's a chance. But even if they get their chance, would they really want to take it? We'll get to that coming up next. We are live at Bridgestone Arena where the Preds take on Toronto tonight. It's ESPN 102.5 The Game and streaming on the Game Nashville app.
Hey, this was some news from Montez Sweat, who, of course, lit up the scouting combine a couple weeks ago, 4-4-40, and vaunted himself into possible consideration as a top 10 pick. Some news came out of his combine physical, and from what I understand, he was diagnosed with a heart condition, something that sources say was pre-existing and obviously did not stop him from participating in the combine. This has, though, led some teams to take another look at Sweat, his physical, and really everything surrounding him, just kind of take a deeper dive and figure out how comfortable they are with this heart condition. And we've seen some players in the past get sent home from the combine for medical reasons. That did not happen. That's a good sign. I did reach out to his agents for a response to this. They sent me a statement saying, because of privacy issues, they're not allowed to comment specifically, but they believe it is not news, and Sweat was the same person that was medically cleared to play and dominate the SEC, the Senior Bowl, and the NFL Combine. Quote, no change in health, no change in domination. That according to his agents, but obviously NFL teams now are going to spend the next month or so trying to wrap their heads around this.
So Montez Sweat has a minor heart condition that was discovered at the combine, but apparently the minor heart condition did not keep him from working out at the combine. You heard what the agent said. Same guy who dominated the SEC, dominated Senior Bowl, dominated combine. Montez Sweat, according to the mock drafts, is a top five pick as an edge rusher. Floyd, what are the odds that the heart condition slides him to the Titans at 19? And what do you think of taking a guy who might have a heart condition in the first round?
You know, I'm going to guess the odds are not very good that he slides that far. The doctors will determine this. But I will say this of the – and I'm going to guess he probably saw 50 doctors at the combine, because he's got to see each team doctor and each section doctor and then the heart doctor. And then if they let him go ahead and work out, I would say there's probably not much to it.
Do you think this probably came out from a team that's sitting there at 11 or 12 that's saying, hey, let's put this out there to get the top five teams kind of worried so that Sweat might fall down to us to where we can pick him?
You know, maybe. I'm going to guess that everybody will, you know, it's kind of an individual thing. They'll sit down with the doctor and the doctor will say, okay, here's the deal, and give you the scoop. And you make the decision that from there. But again, if it was really serious, I mean, they would have never, even if it wasn't serious, if it was just potentially serious, they would have never let him work out at the combine. They would have sent him home.
So CJ Conrad, the tight end at Kentucky, he apparently had a heart condition and they didn't let him work out. And Conrad is meeting with like cardiologists or whatever, trying to find somebody to clear him.
There you go.
So he can work out at Kentucky's Pro Day. But there's no guarantee that he's going to be able to work out. my guess is if it's that serious for that guy that he's trying to find a cardiologist that'll clear him, then he probably gets a, he probably doesn't get drafted.
Yeah.
Whereas with Sweat, if they let Sweat work out, then it probably wasn't that big of a deal, because if they found out he had a heart problem and then he worked out at the combine and died, wouldn't they kind of be responsible for letting him out there after they just diagnosed him with a heart problem?
Oh, sure.
So yeah. I don't think they would ever let that happen.
No, they'll never let that
happen. What about Jeffrey Simmons, the defensive tackle from Mississippi State, who tore his ACL, who people say would never get to 19 where the Titans would want to draft him unless he had a torn ACL? My guess is he will be available for the Titans at 19. How do you feel about that one?
You know, I mean, ACLs are an issue. That's what Conklin had. And you can see the what, you know, the difference between his performance between last year and this year. And he was an offensive lineman, which means you put less stress on it than a defensive lineman does. So, you know, if you go from a projected top 10 pick to, you know, a top 100 pick, that would be a dramatic drop. So, you know, it would be much scarier in my mind, because you know it's there and you know the ramifications of the thing if he's not cleared 100%. Now, I don't know how far along it is. I don't know when he heard it, but if it's close and they can get a workout and they're convinced he's fine, then, you know, that's one thing. The thing about an ACL when you're young and you get an ACL like this, it sometimes becomes an issue because you get arthritis in there and you probably – a lot of times with an ACL you have to go in and have another minor surgery, what they call clean out. And you'll go in there and you'll, you know, pull something out or scrape something out or whatever it is they do, which means another surgery somewhere down the line. But then, you know, if you've got a guy that you think is going to play a 10 or 12 or 14 year career, and he gets an ACL coming out of college, then, you know, they're a little bit of concern with some arthritis or something that might develop.
Speaking of Montrez Sweat, it has come out that according to Pro Football Talk, Gil Brandt reports that Montez Sweat will not need a medical recheck in Indianapolis. Gil Brandt says decision makers for several NFL teams said that they would pass.
He's fine then.
They would pass in terms of drafting him, or they would pass in terms of wanting him to get a medical recheck?
Yeah, pass. They don't need him to come in for a medical recheck.
Okay. Then that's fine.
Yeah.
So there's that.
That'd be good.
Blake Bortles is signed as the backup in L.A. to Jared Goff. What do you think of that?
You know, I mean, it's the same. The backup quarterback, and I was thinking about this for the people that were talking about, you know, the backup quarterback we just signed, Tannehill. And think about in the last couple of years, I mean, when we got here, who was it? Mettenberg was the backup, who was horrible.
Well, I mean, he was basically the starter.
Then he gets dumped, and then we go to
Matty Castle.
Castle, and he was a little bit better, but still. Then he gets dumped. Then we go to
Big Game Blaine.
Blaine, and he was a little bit better than he, and now we're at Tannehill, which is better even.
Which means that in a couple of years, Joe Montana will come in to back up Marcus.
So we have improved the backup quarterback position considerably over the last couple of years on a yearly basis. But, I mean, he's fine. He's a similar guy. They're going to say, hey, this guy's been a starter for X number of years. We don't know exactly what's going to happen with Jimmy G and his knee.
No, it's golf.
He's in L.A. Yeah. Okay. Then they're going to come in and say, hey, he's a former starter that's a backup quarterback and somebody that you doesn't have to have a zillion snaps. And hopefully, you know, with the running back, that they'll be able to go in and just turn around and give it to the running back a bunch if he's there, which he should have done a lot more of at Jacksonville. He'd still be there.
Isn't it kind of, I don't want to say like a prerequisite in McVay's offense that you have to be able to throw the football? Like, you have to be able to put it where it's supposed to go, which is probably Bortles' biggest bugaboo.
Yeah, but they're not bringing him in to throw the ball.
I know, but like, but see that waste management trash can and that little Dr. Pepper recycling thing right there over on the left? Like, I feel pretty confident that Marcus could put a football right in that little recycle me thing on the Dr. Pepper bottle. I am not sold Bortles could do that. Like, if we stood right here where we are, that thing is what, 30 feet away from me right now?
Yeah.
That Dr. Pepper bottle?
Sure.
Like 30 feet. Do you think Bortles can get the football in that little hole where you're supposed to recycle your bottle?
In one try?
Three tries. Give him three tries. You think Bortles can put the football in there?
I think any NFL quarterback would be able to.
I'm not sold he can. I feel like Marcus could do it. I know Drew Brees could do it. I just don't. I don't feel good about Bortles, and that's kind of the one thing that McVay makes you do. 615-737-1025 is the number. 615-737-1025. Coming up next, I wonder why John Robinson and the Titans are not getting the credit they deserve. Now, I don't think the credit they deserve matters that much, but I'm just disappointed they're not getting it. We'll get to that next. Jared and the GM live from Bridgestone Arena. It's ESPN 102.5 The Game.